You're listening to Lambs Media, sponsored by onlysupernews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by onlysupernews.com, news to make you feel good.
Hello, good evening and a warm welcome to week 13 of the Lambs Media weekly quarantine podcast after what has been a very, very busy week at Tamworth FC. I'm your host Harry Hanslow for this evening's show, and I hope that everyone is well and staying safe. The idea behind these podcasts is to bring new content, including interviews, questions to the fans, and to raise awareness of all the competitions, challenges and content which can be found over this period. Coming up in the next hour on tonight's episode, we're going to be recapping all of this week's news, speaking to Tyrell Waite, hearing from Brian Whitehouse from the Tamworth FC team builder, as well as hearing from Tamworth FC legend captain Mark Phillips. As always, throughout the show, make sure that you drop us a message in the chat, and as always, if appropriate, we will give you a shout out. I can already see a few messages coming in. Good evening to Matt, Stu, Kev, JLR20, Craig, Stuart Jones and Josh and Sarah, and anyone else listening in this evening, a very good evening to you all. As I have done in the last more recent weeks, now football has begun in the UK. If there are any goals or any matches during the show, I'll be sure to keep you updated on them. Crystal Palace Chelsea has now finished 2-3 to Chelsea, and Watford beat Norwich 2-1, and Arsenal Leicester is kicking off within the next 15 minutes. Let's begin this evening then with recapping everything which has been announced by the club since this time last week, starting with the men's first team. It was announced that the current management trio will take the squad into next season, as well as retaining Ryan Bezic, Lathaniel Roe Turner, Joe Magunda, Aaron Ford, Tyrell Waite, Ryan Tate, Bilal Yafai, Jordan Goff and Jimmy Fry, who've all signed for next season, as well as also signing Shaquille McDonald from Bromsgrove Sporting, and Tom Tonks has also committed to next season after actually joining before the lockdown. Meanwhile, Reece Hones, Greg Casaboni, Jordan Clement and Chris Late have all left the club to play elsewhere. In terms of the ladies team, they have now changed their name to Tamworth Women, reflecting on modern language and equality, as well as retaining 100% of last season's squad. They have also made some excellent additions in the last few days, that being through Natasha Rothery, Ella Spears, Amy Taylor and Ellie Milson. We also spoke last week about the £70,000 grant towards our new floodlight project, in which 4 state-of-the-art LED columns will replace the existing 9, which is expected to be completed in time for the new season. However, that grant only covers 70% of the funding, and the club is required to cover the remaining costs. There is a Just Giving page which has been set up on the club's website, which people are able to donate to if they wish to be a part of the donation process for that. And we are also offering a lifetime sponsorship of each floodlight pillar. If you are interested, I would encourage you to check out the latest news article on the club's website about that, or get in touch with the club. As always, a quick weekly reminder that our weekly quarantine quiz went live yesterday. This week is based on Hensford. Each week we're having 10 questions based on the club, and you can access that by clicking on the link, which I will post in the chat during the next interview. Our first interview this evening then comes from Tyro Waite, who has committed to his third season at Tamworth FC, and Stuart Jones caught up with him in the last week.
Hi Ty, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Thank you very much indeed for joining me today. And first thing to say is congratulations on the new deal, and good to have you back again for a third season at Tamworth.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Spot on. So I hope you and your family are well at the moment. How was the sort of 3-month lockdown period for yourself? How did you cope?
I mean, obviously a season getting cut short as well, that didn't really help. I mean, obviously the circumstances that are going on, obviously you just got to kind of understand it. But yeah, it was hard. It's been tough, obviously, not being involved in like the football environment for so long. And obviously the way that obviously introducing it back now, there's so much restrictions to it. I mean, it's going to be hard for us to get back into it straight away, but obviously everyone's just buzzing to be back. So hopefully we can get back out on the pitch and get back to it.
Yeah, no, it's the old small steps, isn't it, at the moment? And but from the supporters' point of view, we would all love to be there, wouldn't we? But it's just got to wait for the nod from the government and that sort of thing.
Yeah, of course.
That's spot on. So, how did you deal with the with the COVID-19 outbreak in terms of the season being expunged at such an early stage? What was your thoughts on it, or how did you?
I mean, obviously seeing how the leagues above us have dealt with it, obviously I reckon they should have gone about it the same kind of way. I mean, me personally, I thought we still could have finished off the season at a period where it was suitable for everyone. Like obviously the other leagues have done so, or even obviously the points per game solution which they had on the table. But I just think the way they've cut it short, I mean, for the lower leagues, like non-league teams, I just thought it was a bit unfair. Because, I mean, obviously all the hard work we put in during the season and stuff, like all the staff and everyone else, I mean, it was just a bit like, it was a bit of a blur. So I think obviously a lot of the lads obviously thought that as well. I just mean, all the hard work we put in and we didn't get nothing from it.
Yeah, no, it is the biggest gripe, isn't it? I think the one rule for one and one for another is what's hurt the most, hasn't it, from sort of our level downwards. That they were very quick to give it the elbow at our level, and then they've given themselves a bit of time with other leagues, and then decided Premier League, obviously in the Championship, can carry on. And the leagues below have all been points per game, which, as we've touched on previously, if that would have been the case, would have been the best at step three with what we've done throughout the season. And it's, as you say, it's the hard work that everyone's put in, and all the time and the effort and that sort of thing that just goes unrewarded and goes unnoticed, doesn't it, from the FA's point of view.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I just think it was very unfair. I just think it could have been solved so many different ways. But I think for them to just cancel the league and just void it, I thought it was quite harsh.
Totally. I think we're all in agreement on that one.
Yeah.
So from your own point of view, you had a pretty solid campaign last season. You scored 11 goals in 38 appearances in all competitions, and mainly playing from the wing. How did you feel your season went from a personal point of view?
I mean, to be fair, I really enjoyed it. I mean, playing every game and obviously scoring a few goals. I mean, I always want to score more goals. So I reckon obviously I could have done that. But overall, I really enjoyed it, man. Even though I was playing that wide, like some might say, obviously it's not really my favourite position. But when I'm in a team like obviously we was last year, it doesn't really matter. So yeah, I just enjoyed it, man. And obviously chipping in with a few goals, I mean, helped as well.
Yeah, you gave a lot of defenders a thing or two to think about, and you with the pace and that sort of thing. A lot of our goals are scored from, as I build up with you being involved as well. So,
yeah, I mean, obviously, I think I got quite a few assists as well, which obviously helps as well. But I just like to use my strengths really, and obviously just try to be as free as I can when I'm playing. I just like to obviously play my own kind of game, and I think a lot of the guys obviously understand that as well. So yeah, I enjoy it.
No, it's certainly worth it, isn't it, as you say.
Yeah.
Cool. But so you began your career with Ilkeston before joining Notts County. Yeah. How did your footballing journey begin? How did it all come about?
It's a weird one, really, because I mean, at school, I was never really like interested to the max of like football. Like I wasn't really playing in school and stuff. Like I wasn't at like no academies and that. But I used to just play for the school teams and the Saturday team just for like the fun of it. And then a guy just came along and said, obviously, there's a chance to go to Ilkeston. So yeah, I ended up going there, and surprisingly, I done very well. Like first year, like for the youth team and stuff, I scored like 20 plus goals. And then I was in the first team before you knew it, at like 16. And then I ended up getting signed by Notts County when I was like 17. So, I mean, it happened kind of quick, like it happened very quick. But I ended up taking it very serious, obviously, when I got into the pro game. But like before all of that, I wasn't really interested in football, if I was honest. But I ended up doing all right. So I can't really complain.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's a bit of quite a journey, isn't it, as you say. What was it like making your debut in the Football League for Notts County?
At first, I was to be fair, I was probably scared. I mean, when the manager said, oh, yeah, you're going to be playing this weekend, you're going to make your debut. Like, at first, I was just shell-shocked. And then, obviously, being around a lot of the pros that were there that were quite older than me and experienced, and that obviously, they obviously pulled me through it and then just got me comfortable in that, really. And then once I made my debut, like I just gelled in with everyone else, and I just ended up doing very well. The next few games I ended up starting, so it was good, man. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, spot on. I want to ask you this question as well. What was it? What was it like for you playing over in Sweden? You might have to help me on the pronunciation of this. Was it Skellefteå?
Skellefteå. That's the team. Yeah, I went there for. I just had an opportunity to go abroad. An agent that I was working with, he says, I've got an opportunity in Sweden for a year to go out there and just play regular football, because I wasn't really playing at the time. I was just sitting on the bench. I think I was at Lincoln at the time. And he just said, I've got an opportunity to go abroad. And I thought, why not? I've got nothing to lose. I ended up going out there for a season, enjoyed it. I mean, the lifestyle was a bit different, but I enjoyed it, man. I ended up going out there and scoring a lot of goals as well. So, It was good, man. It's a good experience. I mean, if anyone was to obviously not play regular football in England, I'd definitely advise them to go like to Sweden and play out there, because I think the standard's very good as well.
I think you see a lot of it, don't you? A lot of young lads now maybe that have perhaps fallen out of the pro game, they get in touch with agents and agents say, you know, you can go and play over in block, maybe a second or third division in Spain or somewhere like that. It's just somewhere to go and play a bit of football. And the scouts tend to go over and see these lads performing, and then before long they come back to England and, you know, they're playing.
There's a lot of English players now, to be fair, that are going out to Sweden and playing out there. Like, I think it's just one of those ones. I think they like the English players as well, and it's a chance to obviously express yourself out there in a different country, because I think they like the English football, like English football way. So it's good, man.
No, spot on. So we're on a Tamworth front. You signed for Tamworth in the summer of 2018, following a successful trial period. How did the move to trial for the club come about?
At the time, I think it was Mike that was in charge, and he took over obviously the first team. And it was weird because at the time I didn't have a club. I think I can't remember where I was, but I didn't have a club, and it was obviously pre-season. I didn't have no like agent or nothing like that. So I ended up messaging Mike, and on Twitter, it was random. I just messaged him and was like, oh, like, could I come down and train and stuff like that? And then I ended up coming down, training, playing a few games. Obviously, I was scoring in pre-season and that, and then ended up signing from then, because I think obviously he liked me. So it was a weird one, to be fair. It was quite random. Like, I ended up contacting Mike, and then after that, I got signed.
It's funny how these things come about, isn't it? But from our
point of view, it's random.
One that's paid off 3 years down the line, isn't it, sir?
I know, it's gone quick, to be fair. When I think about it, it's going to be my third season at the club. It's gone mad quick.
Yeah, mate, you're a veteran of Tamworth now. So, is there anything in particular that you're still looking to try and achieve during your career?
I mean, for me, I just obviously the older I've got, I think I still enjoy the game. So, I just think for me now, I just want to just score goals, man, and hopefully just go from there. If anything comes about, anything comes, then you know, it'd be a bonus. But I think at the minute, while I'm still enjoying it, I just want to be scoring goals and just hopefully get a promotion on my CV and just go from there.
Yeah, no, spot well. We were very close to it last season, but we all hope that this season is the one, isn't it, that you can find a way to get out of this division with a bit of luck.
Yeah, of course.
So, what was your highlight of last season, 2019-20 season?
My highlight, I think, my goal at Royston, I think. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I think we all did, to be fair. That was
I enjoyed that goal, to be fair. I think I scored one similar before, like the season before. I think it was at King's Lynn. But yeah, that was probably my highlight of the last year. Little solo goal.
Yeah, no, definitely. We spoke to a few of the goals and most of them sort of said Hereford, which, you know, from a collective of fans and the supporters, it was probably the best night we had. But I don't think you can underestimate those two victories against Royston. With how good Royston were last season, to beat them home and away, it was quite a change.
Yeah, the one at home, felt massive, man. I think because obviously we knew what it meant to us, and obviously the time of when we beat them, like, that was a massive win. And the way we done it as well, like, it was a good win, that was, man.
Yeah, I sort of said that when I was talking to Bilal. We obviously lost the Peterborough and the Bromsgrove game, and then Leicester in between the two.
Yeah. But
those two teams, Peterborough and Bromsgrove, had played more games, so it was, you still felt that there was a chance of pulling it back as it turned out. Royston, I think they were 2 points behind us at that stage, so it was a very, you know, because they had a hell of a run as well at that stage, so it was a big win, wasn't it, to you know, get a few points on them and be on it, you know, even games played and that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the lads, like we must said from like probably the start of the season, like the only other team in the league that will probably trouble us is Royston, because of the way they played and stuff, and they were a good side, they were quite organised. For us to beat them twice, like, it was massive, man.
Mm. No, spot on. Finally, is there a particular message that you'd like to pass on to the supporters?
Hopefully next year we can bring the same kind of football to the fans and obviously make sure that they enjoy it and get the results in, and hopefully we can get a trophy to make them all happy and just get a promotion.
Yeah, I think we'd all echo those sentiments, wouldn't we?
100%. I mean, I think obviously the club's obviously from getting relegated from the conference and stuff like that. I just think the promotion's overdue, man. I just think because it's too much of a good club to be in the league that we're in. So I just think that we need the promotion and we'll just go from there.
No, definitely. Another question for you. What's your take on the sort of business you've done so far in terms of the lads who have all been announced, and obviously you've signed Shaq McDonald, who was at Bromsgrove last season. It's a pretty decent nucleus, isn't it? And it's good to see so many players from previous campaign re-signing for the new season.
Yeah, I think obviously Smudge and Andy, I thought the main thing that they're obviously focusing on for next year is to try to keep the core of the team that we had. And I think obviously they've done well to do that. And obviously adding the players that they've added, like, for example, you said Shaq, obviously adds a lot of goals because he scored quite a lot of goals last season as well. So, I just think the main thing was to keep the core of the team. Obviously, they've done that. And then we just add the additions, which they have done. So, it should be a good man. I reckon we'll be ready to go again next year and it'll be the same.
Yeah, no. Hopefully, like you say, all the lads we've kept, you know, I think most of the fans would have been more than happy to keep the players. And like you say, Shaq definitely adds goals, and he adds a hell of a lot of pace to the team as well, isn't he? Because he's very rapid when he gets going. So
yeah, he's a good forward, man.
Yeah, spot on. Well, all it remains for me to say, Toys, thanks for your time. Please, you're back with us again next season, and hopefully, very soon we'll all be able to meet up down there again and watch the lads. Do what we hope we was going to do this season.
Yeah, hopefully, man. Hopefully we can get back to pre-season, get the games going and get the season underway. and just get back to playing football and give something for the fans to something for the fans to watch, because I know they're probably missing it as well. So
no, we're all eager for sure. thanks for your time, much appreciated.
No stress, anytime.
And a huge thank you to Tyrell Waite for doing that interview for us. A key part of funding for some of the players we sign for Tamworth FC comes from the Tamworth FC Team Builder, which was set up around 8 years ago with the idea to provide the management team of the club with additional funds to develop the playing squad further to push the team to the highest playing level possible. And their aim is to raise as much money as they can to support the club in that way. You'll have heard in last week's update from Gary and Andy, which went live at 9 p.m. last Tuesday night, on our YouTube channel, about the importance of Team Builder. And today I spoke with Brian Whitehouse from the Tamworth FC Team Builder Committee. Brian, thank you for joining me. I hope you and your family are well.
Yes, thank you, Harry. We are all fine, and hope you are well as well, and staying safe in these strange times.
Certainly. Firstly, can you just give us the listeners a bit of a background information on what the Team Builder is?
Yes, Team Builder was set up by Andy Farrington in 2012. The object being to support the budget of the club. But only as far as the playing staff were concerned. All the money that was raised at that time, and still is, went into the budget for the team. The money couldn't be spent on anything else. So therefore, it was a very useful addition to the playing budget. And that's how it's remained. Andy continued to run it with a small committee for about 3-4 years. And then a new committee was founded with Clive Tomlinson as chairman, and myself and three others joined. So we've had a committee of five ever since then, and continued to raise funds to support the various managers we've had in those years. And that's what it continues to do, simply provide added bonus money to the budget of the club.
And obviously that's always been really important to the playing squad and the management team, but more so, even more important now due to the club's to help the club's budget for the first team due to the pandemic. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, this is going to be an absolutely crucial year for the club and for non-league football in its entirety. Last year, we were able to support the club with £2,000 a month added to the budget, and that led to the signings of Nathaniel Rowe-Turner and Reece Honis, and continued to support that throughout the season. When it came to the end of the season, the chairman was delighted with what we'd done, but like the rest of us, extremely disappointed as to the closure of the season without us being promoted. So this year, we will continue to provide funds for the manager, or the managerial team, should I say. But in a slightly different manner this time. We've spoken to the chairman. The chairman has asked that Team Builders funds are kept so that if any signings need to be made where extra money is required, then Team Builder will be called upon to support that. And then the management team will be able to go to the board at any opportunity and say, can Team Builder support us? As you've already said, this year is going to be very difficult for the club, and understandably so. Commercially, we are very reliant on sponsorship from various companies and individuals throughout the local area, and obviously their finances have been sort of endangered by the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I think Team Builder will be more and more important this year to provide the funds that the club needs.
So following on from that, how can people get involved if they are interested in doing so, and what are the different ways they can do that?
The main way that people get involved is by joining a monthly payment scheme. That's normally required that people take a form from us, fill it in, take it to their bank, and it provides a standing order of whatever amount they wish to pay into the fund. We've always set a minimum of £10, but we are aware of how finances are stretched at the moment for many people. And we are saying this year that if you just want to join us and pay £5 a month, then we'll be delighted to accept that. Other than for that, some people give us donations throughout the year. Sometimes an individual gives us a donation maybe two or three times a year. Other people give us a major donation just once a year. So the option is there to join either the monthly paying in scheme by standing orders in your bank, or simply a donation. And either way is absolutely suitable. And if anybody wants that information as to how to join and who to contact, that can be found on the club website under the title Team Builder. So that's easy to do.
Yeah, just to clarify then, if you are interested in getting involved, head over to Tamworth FC's website, and I'll also put the link in the chat on tonight's show. And you can just go under the Team Builder section along the top, and then all the information, as Brian says, is available there. Just before we finish up then, Brian, is there anything else you'd like to add?
One thing that Team Builder is going to do this year, which we think is extremely important, is that we have sponsored Ryan Tate. This is the young lad who made his debut, 17 years old, made his debut for the club, the first team, last season, and impressed not only Tamworth but other clubs. And the club were really pleased that this showed for the one of the few first times that someone was coming through the academy system and making it to the first team grade, and Team Builders come in and provided the finance for Ryan to stay at the club, and we're delighted with that. That's the future of the club, that we bring through our own players to really create a Tamworth team, so to speak. So that's been a major move this season, and we're delighted to have done that.
Yeah, really, really exciting. And hopefully we can get to see some of the lads on the pitch back at the Lamb sooner rather than later.
Very much so, very much so. I think not all of us can't wait for that referee to blow that whistle, and we can just enjoy our football once again. And on behalf of Team Builder, I would like to wish all our fans the very best. Please stay alert, stay safe, and hopefully we'll meet in happier times.
Thank you very much for speaking with me, Brian, and we'll hopefully hear again from you very soon.
Thanks, Harry. You take care. Stay safe.
And a huge thank you to Brian Whitehouse for that interview. And I will just remind you again that if you do want to contribute to the Team Builder, then the link is in the chat. And I've just posted it again there for you. And the Team Builder will be really grateful for that. As I said, I would just do some quick updates on English football. Arsenal-Leicester is 0-0 still, and in the Championship it's Cardiff 2 Blackburn 1, and that's just on the verge of half time. So for our final interview of this evening, we are continuing on with our Legends series. We've heard from a number of ex-Tamworth FC players over the last few months, but tonight we're going to be hearing from Lambs legend Mark Phillips, or better known to some as Captain Mark Phillips.
Hi Mark, fantastic to have your company today. How are you?
I'm fine, mate. I'm not too bad. Lockdowns are beginning to make me a bit stir crazy, but yeah, I'm doing all right. I just hope everybody else is okay.
Now, you made your Tamworth debut under Les Green, I believe, 23rd of August 1994 in a 2-2 draw versus Grantham Town at the Lamb. That takes us back a bit, doesn't
it,
mate?
That does take us back. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did, yeah. I remember that because I signed from Stourbridge. I actually started at Stourbridge. And a lad, I don't even remember, Johnny Hansen, who played for us as well. I played with him at Stourbridge, and he went to Tamworth first, and Les Green was looking for a goalkeeper. I think Matt Whitehead was the other goalkeeper who was there at the time, and he was looking for another one, and Johnny Hansen told him about me, and he said, bring him over. And one thing led to another, and I ended up signing. And like you say, my first game, Grantham, yes. I think I had an absolute worldie and let two in. There you go.
Well, it all depends on the players in front of you, of course, Mark.
Yeah.
But what was your recollection of Tamworth before you signed for Tamworth then?
Well, the thing is, I played against Tamworth when I was at Stourbridge. They came to us, we were in the same league then, because I'd gone to Stourbridge. They'd won the league and gone up into Tamworth League. And we had a very good side at Stourbridge, a really good side. We were third in the league. Neil Reok signed me, the old Villa player. And they signed me. And then we played against Tamworth. And I believe that we beat them 2-1 at our place. And then I think we drew 1-1 at the Lamb. But they were a good side. I think there was a Swanee played for them then. And a couple of others. I think, I'm trying to think of the other ones that played. It was the one from Nuneaton who played for them as well. But I can't really listen to my name. My thing, recollection of the names is getting worse. But there was a good side. We knew they were a good side. And I remember, they with 2-1 at our place, and I think it was 1-1 at there. But we knew they were a good side. And when I got the chance to sign for them, it was an easy one for me. I mean, literally, it was 2 minutes down the road for me, which was one great thing, instead of going an hour and a half to Stourbridge. But, I knew that they were a good side.
We were talking off air, actually, about the nickname Captain Mark Phillips and the origin of that. And I remember being in the shed myself, along with many fans that will be listening into this podcast who are old enough to remember. And chanting things like, where's your Princess Anne? And you do that little sort of horse trot off to the goal mouth. And what are your memories around that, Mark?
Yeah, it just came one day. I can't remember. I think it might have been Henry, I don't know, or somebody like that started it. And I remember coming out, I think it was probably about, I know it was a home game, definitely a home game. And it was maybe against Atherstone or something. It was a big one, I can't remember. And I came out and all of a sudden somebody went, where's your Princess Anne? And I thought, who are they talking to, first of all? And then, of course, then it clicked. They went, one Captain Phillips, and then there's your Princess Anne. And I thought, oh, well, I'll make something off this. I'll have a bit of a laugh. So I started doing, like, riding the horse up to the goal, and it seemed to stick. But, it was one of them things. It was a bit of a nice thing to have every time you came out. It was nice that the fans actually, they sort of, like, take to you. They either take to you or they don't take to you.
And that's football fans, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, football fans. The clubs that I've been at and things like that, some of them hate you, some of them love you, so you just take it. But if they do love you, happy days go with it.
So the nickname Captain Mark Phillips, but did you actually captain the Lambs at any point?
I didn't captain the first team. I captained the reserves a couple of times when a lad called Les Healy was in charge. He was one of Paul Hendry's friends, and I used to go and play for the reserves. Well, I wasn't playing for the first team because we didn't tend to name a goalkeeper on the bench then. So I'd go and play for the reserves. I just wanted to play all the time, and I got paid as well, so it's even better if I played. And I went there, and I did captain a couple of times. And it was when he said to me, "Captain, you're captain." I thought, what's he on about? Captain, my captain, And he said, yeah, you're going to captain the team. And I did it a couple of times. And I loved it, actually. I absolutely loved it with my voice. Because I don't know if you remember my voice. It did used to travel a long way. And it was good. It was a good experience for me. And the lads, But I'd like to have done the first team. I would love to have done the first team. Because I'd have told them exactly what I thought. Like Willie Batchelor and a couple of others. I did a captain a couple of times.
Wonderful. You played 56 times for the Lambs, and 35 of those appearances were made in the first season. You were battling that out for the number one shirt with Dean Whitehouse, you've already mentioned.
Yep.
What was the
Matt
relationship
Whitehouse.
Like?
Matt Whitehead, you mean? Matt Whitehead. Yeah.
Where am I going with this?
I don't know. I don't know. It's you and Harry get it wrong all the time, you see.
Matt Whitehead, of course.
Younger,
taller.
not better looking, though. Better looking. he was the lady's choice, by the way. He could spend more time in front of the mirror than anybody I knew. Great lad. And I was battling it out with him. And then obviously Matt, I think Matt left. And then Tony Rowe came in, which was a very good goalkeeper, Rowe. And we also had Gavin Saxby as well, another young lad who probably don't remember, but he played a lot of reserves games and things like that. So, yeah, I was battling with them. And it was always tough. You know, it was always tough because once you had a couple of good games, you tended to stay in for 9-10 games. And Rowe put together, I think he played about 37, 38 games, you know, straight off. So it was always hard to get in. But I love being there. I love the training. I love the fact that you could be in and around the team. You had the reserve team to go and play for as well. But it was tough. But, you know, it's not many games, but I enjoyed the ones that I did play.
Lovely. I'm still tickled myself that I've got that name so completely and utterly wrong.
When you sent it to me, I thought, who's this bloke? I don't even know who this bloke is. I said, I know Matt White, but I don't know the other lad. So, you
know. Moving on. Second season, you were at the Lamb. Paul Hendry took charge.
Yeah.
You did find yourself, your opportunities limited there with Tony Rowe, as you mentioned, playing a number of games. Other goalkeepers like Matty Boswell, Neil Cutler came in as well, and you seemed to spend some time out on loan as well in that part of your career. Where did you play at that time?
I went out to bowl all Swifts, actually. I went to bowl all Swifts. I don't think many people knew that, but I went out to them and played for them when they were in the Interlink Premier then. So I think it was a couple below Tamworth then. And I went and played for them and ended up being manager. Can you imagine that? I was actually manager. Me and Chutch Cartwright. We actually became manager. Of the team, like, you know, we couldn't save and they were about 14 points behind everybody else and we needed to win about 7 out of 9 games to stay up. But I went there on loan, played a few games for them, but still trained with Tamworth and then just went with them at the weekends. And also I went out to Solihull Borough. I got Paul Hendry pulled me on one side and said, Solihull Borough looking for a goalkeeper. A good side, really good side, Solihull. So I just said, yeah, I'll jump at the chance. I'll go at that. I want to play. And I ended up being there for the season and a bit. I was there. Played at the old Moor Green place when they have their we shared it with them. A very, very good side there as well. We got to the second round of the FA Cup and lost to Darlington on penalties after a replay. And I think we had Wolves or something in the third round away, which would have been a nice one. I went out to them, played at Solihull quite a lot. And then I came back for a game. I don't know if you remember this. I came back for Nuneaton away because Tony Rowe got injured. So they called me back and we went on to beat them 2-0. And I'm not sure. I think Smudger scored the winner. There you go. There's a bit of a fact for you. We won 2-0 and we did really well. Really well. Yeah, there was about 4,500 now, I think, for that. Because I think if we beat them, we went top of the league or they went top of the league, something like that. So, great game. Good memories.
Yeah. And there were some fantastic derbies and massive crowds in that kind of era as well between the two clubs.
Yeah. There was. I mean, you had Atherstone as well. People forget about them. Atherstone were up with us as well, sort of thing. I do remember another one. I always remember my good games. Well, there weren't many of them. But we played against Atherstone at our place on Easter Monday. And again, I think we went top if we won. And they were top. And if we went top, we overtook. And Adrian Piggan was playing at the back with Chutch Cartwright. And they gave a penalty away. And I saved a penalty. And we won 2-1. And we won 2-1. And we were top of the league. And I remember that. There was about 4,500 people in there that day. It was ram solid. And that was on an Easter Monday, a beautiful day in April. And we beat them 2-1. And they're the sort of things you remember. You remember even in midweek games, you get sort of like 1,800 people down there. And I think that hopefully we can get them back to that again. You know, if they keep going up the way they do, people are still coming back again.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Many fans remember you, not just so much as a player, as a goalkeeper for Tamworth, but just for the fact of what a character you are, Mark, around the club. Why do you feel that there was such a strong bond between you and the fans, even though you weren't always number one first choice keeper?
Because I always bought my drink in the bar. That's why. I think, you know, every club I've ever been to, I've always tried to get on with people. I do believe that when I was playing and things like that, then we would go in the bar after the game and mix with the fans. And even if you had a good game or a bad game, you know, they tell you, this people are entitled, they pay their money. They can tell you who had a good game and they can tell you who had a bad game. But I think that sort of gone a little bit, that we don't have the interaction between the players. Even, you know, people used to come down and watch us train. And then we'd be in the bar afterwards, sometimes far too late after we'd been paid. We did that. And I think that I like the interaction with the players and the crowd. But I used to go and talk to people. I'd do things for them. You know, they asked me to do something, I'd always say yes, because they're the people that come down and watch and cheer you on. And if they're not there, what's the point? So, you know, be nice to the fans, because that's what you're supposed to be.
They don't have to be nice to you, but you have to be nice to them.
Some of them were horrible. There was an old boy called old, I can't remember, it was old Jack or something like that. He used to hate me. He stood in the corner and said, Philip, you're rubbish. You are rubbish. All through the game, he said this. I thought, well, he's doing well. But I met his son, because he did die, bless him, his son. And he said he didn't dislike you personally. He just didn't like goalkeepers. He said he just didn't like them at all. And all game, I could hear him when we played at home. He just shouted, Philip, you're rubbish. You're rubbish. I think he shouted, I'm rubbish in the warm-up. There you go. That's how good he was.
It's just brilliant to hear these stories. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, love them.
Mark, if you could pick out a single favourite memory then from your time at Tamworth, what would it be?
Oh, no, that's a tough one. That is a tough one for me. When we, like I say, that Nuneaton one when we beat them 2-0 was a big one for me. I love that. Coming back to the team, they called me back and we won 2-0. I had a decent game and all. I remember I did have a decent game. The only downside is they left me Tony Rowe's kit, who's flipping about. He's felt like, and I was like an older has-been. So I looked like a sausage stuffed in a bacon roll. that one. And I think when we won the league, obviously when we won the league that time, and we went up, you know, still part of the team, still felt part of the team and things like that. I think when we won the league was a great one. What a night that was. I've got some stories about that, but I'll save them, because if we do a question and answer, then I'll tell you all about them. I would think that winning the league and also beating Nuneaton, really, let's be honest.
Well, you're saying all the right things to endear yourselves to the younger generation of Tamworth fans, never mind the older generation. No, brilliant. Now, I know you've been heavily involved in coaching throughout your career. Do you still coach now?
Yeah, well, I'm still doing some bits and pieces. I've just finished working with an Indonesian football side, actually. They came over for a year. I was over for nearly 2 years, but I worked with them, their national side, virtually. But I've worked since I was playing at Stourbridge, actually. Neil Riart got me into it, and I started doing my coaching badges then. And I've carried on doing that. I've worked at Birmingham City, I've worked at Villa, I've worked at Wolverhampton Wanderers. I've worked at most of the clubs, sort of thing. At Birmingham, I worked with the first team. I was doing the goalkeepers there when Steve Bruce went to Middlesbrough. And who was it? The Scottish bloke came in. I can't remember his name. Not Aitken. It was the other one. He's one who went on to manage Villa as well. I can't think of his name. He's a Scottish manager and all that, Aberdeen. He was in there, and I did the goalkeeping for the first team for 2 weeks, and we never won again.
Alex McLeish.
Alex McLeish, that's it. What a waste of time he was, by the way. Nice bloke. I think we played 3 games. We never won one of them. We lost to Huddersfield away in the FA Cup, lost to Arsenal 4-0, and I think we lost to, I can't remember what it was. Was it Leeds or something like that? 1-0, 2-0, and that was it. I lost my job after that, and Dave Brown came in, I think, something like that. So Dave Watson came in, who was the England goalkeeping coach now, now Southampton. I've been doing that all the time. I'm still doing that. And now I'm still working for England. I've been working for England for 22 years now, 23 years. probably a bit more. And I've been doing stuff like coaching and working with the goalkeepers and that with the women's side, and then now on the men's side. And now I do scouting for them. I do the international scouting for the 18s to 23 men. So all of our international players, whether it be goalkeepers or outfield players, I go along and watch them, do detailed reports on them and things like that, and actually get involved with them at the training camps. So that's a nice. It's nice to be still involved in football. I think that's why I did it, because I don't want to leave it, because you're a long time not playing. That's the thing. When I gave up playing, it was a void, and I knew that I had that to fall back on. So I'm still in with the day-to-day running the clubs, and I loved it. I love the coaching. I still love it now. Like, you know, I think I'm a 20-year-old flying about, but when I get up in the morning, I feel like a 60-year-old. So,
yeah, you might be okay at the time in the moment doing something, but you pay for it afterwards.
Oh, I'm like the Tin Man. I am like the Tin Man the next morning. Like, you know, I'm throwing myself around like a teenager, and then I get up and my other half says, "What on earth are you doing? You're too old for all this." But I'll keep doing it until they tell me to stop doing it. I'll keep doing it.
So. Yep, until you can't any longer.
Absolutely.
So, just to close off then, Mark, is there anything that you would like to say specifically to the fans that listen into this podcast, or ex-players even, like Smudge, who I know listen? Yeah, just any message to those guys?
No, I just say like to all the fans at the Tamworth, they've been wonderful to me. I love going down there, and it's nice when I go back and they say, "Hi, Captain, how are you?" And it's nice to have a chat and, you know, go in the bar afterwards. And it's just a wonderful place to be. So I think, you know, hopefully the more people will get behind Smudger when he does this. You know, he's a great lad, and I've been down a couple of times to see him. I've said anything he needs, just give me a call. He hasn't phoned me yet, so he obviously doesn't rate me. Git. But yeah, so I'm sure that all the players, I'd love to see all the players back down there. You know, maybe have a day when this is all over, just have a day. We just say, right, all come and watch the game. Don't have to do a big thing, but just all come and watch the game, support Smudger, you know, and get behind him, you know. And I would like to see some of the lads, you know, like Darren Shaw, I'd like to see him, Gary O'Connor, Chuch, I see occasionally, Adrian Piggott's always around the world. There's a lad called Gary Piggott. Do you remember Gary Piggott played for us?
And, yeah, he came from Dudley, yeah.
Yeah, Dudley, great lad. You know, I'd like to see Benno. I'd like to see Lee. I see Lee Wilson. I've seen Lee a few times with the scouting and things like that. But I'd like to see a few of the others as well, like, you know, to get down there and just have a good old sing-along in the, like we used to do, get Willie Batchelor start singing, you know, when the Reds start and come marching in, do that in the bar again.
Yeah.
Get Dennis Mulholland. I mean, Dennis was just a legend. Absolute madman, but a legend.
Totally not.
Oh my God, stories. I could spend the half an hour telling you stories about Dennis. But, you know, great lad. But things like that, characters, and those are the characters we need again. You know, we need them down there as well. I'm not saying they haven't got them, but Smudger will bring it out. And I wish him and Andy and all everybody concerned with Tamworth Football Club all the best. And I really, really hope that sometimes they'll come round to the senses and put them up straight away. Hopefully, when this is all over, they'll just say, look, you go up and play at a higher league and then see what Gary does then. Because I personally think he could go a lot higher. Both of them, they could go a lot higher and end up, you know, maybe. Who says they can't play in the league? You know, let's just hope they do.
Well, hallelujah to that. Fingers crossed. And obviously, it's been wonderful talking to you, Mark. It really has.
Thank you.
I've met you and spoke to you a few times over the years, but to do what we've done today, I think I've learned a lot, and I'm sure the fans listening in will feel the same. So thank you very much for your time, and I'll see you down the Lamb soon.
You certainly will, and thanks very much for having me. And like you say, come on you Lambs.
And a huge thank you to Captain Mark Phillips for that interview. Really, really appreciated. And that does bring us to the end of this evening's show. I do hope that everyone listening has enjoyed this week's podcast. Coming up next week, we're going to hear from Shaquille McDonald, who is this week signed from Bromsgrove Sporting, as well as hearing from Russell Moore and much more. Thank you very, very much for listening. On behalf of everyone at Tamworth FC, stay alert, stay safe, and I'll see you all next week.